We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
But I watched it again. It looks a lot better. So if you could Google there. I want today to teach on something very important. We are starting a new theme on relationships, making room for relationships. Most of us, our relationships need to be stretched. When we stretch relationships, there's a bit of discomfort. And so it's not going to be an exciting series from that perspective, but we need it. So I'm just going to teach it. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to teach the whole aspect of relationships. I was looking at this, thinking about this whole issue about relationships, and I noticed that from Genesis, when God introduces relationships, he starts with marriage in Genesis chapter 2. But I want to focus on this topic from the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians does not start with marriage. Ephesians starts with a community of believers, and then it moves on to marriage. So I'm going to follow Paul's lead here. I was tempted to start with marriage. So we're going to touch on marriage next week. But these are important things about church. Church life is about this. So we need to talk about it. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4. It's a bit of a reading, but we need to do this because we need to hear the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5 rather. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1. And then we will sit on this chapter even next week, and then the following week we'll do chapter 6. So, if you're with me, I'm going to start reading from verse 1. When you hear the Bible starts with the word therefore, you know you're in trouble. Okay? So there we go. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual... Okay, I'm using my Bible. Okay. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. That is scripture. If you are not familiar with Paul's way of writing, when Paul writes a letter, he normally starts with doctrine. He lays out the foundation, the subject, and the doctrinal position of what he's talking about. And then he moves over to practice. He then says, okay, now that you know this, he then says, therefore, this is what you ought to do. This is how Paul writes. And the book of Ephesians is a classic example, a perfect example, rather, of how Paul balances the issue of doctrine and practice. And in this case, the first three chapters, he writes a lot on our riches in Christ. He says, we are therefore in Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. You remember that verse? That's in chapter 2. He says in verse 1, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. He says, God has lavished love upon us. Is that were you here last night? God has lavished his grace upon us. He makes the point that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. He's laying a foundation for us to understand our riches in Christ. And then he moves on to practice. And practice starts by talking about unity. Because unity is a powerful thing for believers. So in the second part of Ephesians, which is what I'm going to be looking at, I'm skipping the first part because we'll be here for a long time. But he talks about our walk with God. Our walk, the popular word there is walk. It says, watch your walk with God. Because it's our responsibility to make room for relationships so that we walk together in unity as believers. We don't have to vote on this issue of walking together as children of God. We are not a club. See, a club can decide who can be a member and who cannot be a member. There are some people that can decide that you don't deserve to be here. You don't qualify to be here. You don't fit in here. With the house of God, we don't have that power. We don't decide. That decision has already been made. Say amen, somebody. Okay, so whenever you come to a place where you're telling somebody, I don't like you in this church, please do come and let me know if someone said that to you. Because I want to report that person to my boss. And Paul says, I'm starting from verse 1, because what is my subject today? My subject is imitating God. Okay, is that true, Jaden? I think it should be somewhere. I thought it was before all this. It's got to do with imitating God. So that's part 1, making room for relationships. Part 1 is imitating God in our relationships. Imitating God in our relationships. I was thinking about this, how Paul, in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The Amplified Bible says, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God. And then he says, copy him. Copy him. And not just copy, but follow his example. As who? As well-beloved children. There's a categorization there of the kind of people that have to copy him. You with me? That word imitate, actually, it comes from drama. It's to do with mimicking a character. For example, yesterday we had a drama, a skit. So you can say, for example, say, I want to mimic the governor. You remember the angry governor who convened a meeting to figure out how to destroy God's people. And the governor, you can say, I want to imitate the governor. You know, that's, you are trying to mimic the governor. And the producer of that play will then say, yeah, you can have that character, even if this character is not there, because you are mimicking it very well. Okay. So with God, you can mimic God. He says, we are given permission. You know, usually when you do something, there's copyright, isn't it? You ask to copy their stuff. Okay. So here's a copyright being given right now. So God says, when it comes to the issue of relationships, you have a copyright over my life. Copy me. Follow me in what I'm doing. You see what Paul is saying? So he says, imitate our Father as beloved children. So it's this is the foundation. I'm just laying a foundation so that you understand when we're talking about relationships, it's not in us to relate to other. It has to be sourced from somewhere. And to help us understand, Paul says, you have to imitate the one who created you when it comes to this issue. Because the one who created us, God, is already a community on his own. The God Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are already a communion. They are already a union, a unity on their own, a triune unity. They are a community. What they've done is they've opened the door to the church to come and commune with them. So we've been given access to the communion of the Trinity, to be a part. So therefore, we mimic what we see the Trinity doing. And that cannot be done of men. That's why it's difficult to love a person in your strength. That's why you wake up tomorrow and feel like, you don't feel like you like her. You don't feel like you like your church just because someone, okay. I'm leaving that church. Why are you leaving? Oh, so and so said. Mimic the Trinity. That's what the Bible is saying. Paul says, imitate God as beloved children. In other words, allow his character to be seen in your life. Allow his character to be seen in your life. I know it's tempting to imitate famous people. You know, when I imitate Mandela, you want to imitate, if you are being naughty, you want to imitate some Hollywood stars, the way they sing. You know, you sing like Rihanna, whoever you sing like, I don't know. We want to imitate things of the world. While some are good examples, I know some people are good examples, you want to be like so and so, you want to imitate, that's fine. But the greatest model to imitate is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the model of ministry. So Paul is saying he is the only one worth imitating. He's arguing for us as children, saying, have you noticed that parents are, children are like their parents? Sometimes it's embarrassing, sometimes it's encouraging. So sometimes you see children, little ones, jumping onto the driver's seat, pretending they're driving. Who are they imitating? They're dead. Okay, saying, I'm driving. And making a sound. Man, the car obviously can produce the sound from the engine, but they do it themselves. They're not imitating the father, they're imitating the car too. But that's imitation. That's imitation. If they're in the kitchen, they try to imitate the mother, she's cooking and all sorts of things. That's the nature of the children, to imitate their parents. And Paul says, just like beloved children, it's in your nature to imitate God. It's in your nature to imitate God. Children probably learn more by watching and imitating than any other way. You can talk all you like, but how you behave is what they catch the most. So God says, watch my character. Watch how I behave. And then imitate me in this issue of relationships. So for example, how is it that God would love a prostitute? How is it Jesus says to a prostitute, let her wash my feet. It's okay. The mercy of God has reached out to her. And yet there were guys in the room that felt, how dare he allows a woman of her kind to touch his feet? See, that was from another kingdom. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus was saying, imitate me. I want you to go and do likewise. So you have no control. I want to repeat this over and over. You have no control over who comes to this church. The day you have control over this church, we send you away. Did I say that? Okay. It just slipped out. I wasn't sure what was going to come out there. But it's true. So we have three vital practices I want us to see that we can imitate God. There are four, but we'll do three. Okay? The fourth one, it's in chapter four. So I don't want to take you there. Let's start with chapter five. The first thing that we can imitate God in very easily, we can start tonight. after this service, you can start this one, is walk in love. Walk in love. Verse 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says, and walk in love. As Christ did what? Help me. Let's read together. I'm going to call Pastor Kitao one of these days, because yesterday Pastor Kitao was saying, you got to help me because I might end up dozing while preaching. So I need you to help. Okay, let's read it together, shall we? 1, 2, 3. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Yep. There you go. So the big picture is imitate me as I follow Christ. You know, imitate the Father, rather. Imitate the Father as beloved children. How? How are we supposed to do that exactly, Paul? What do you mean by saying imitate God? What is it that God has done or is doing that we can copy, that we can live? And he says, walk in love. Walk in love. Agape love, not conditional. I will pick you to come to church as long as you put fuel in my car. I'll give you lunch as long as you bring something as well. You know, we like the bring and share. Where is that from? Where is that from? I don't mean to offend anybody. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. So when Jesus was visiting different homes, did he carry his little... See, we got to get into the scriptures here. I know in the world, if I keep giving you something and you are not doing, if I keep remembering your birthday and you are forgetting mine every year, I might start having taken thoughts about, maybe I need to skip this year. But that's the world system. See, the world works like that, that it's tit for. But Paul says, walk in love. What does love mean? The agape kind of love that God is talking about is the kind of love that gives something for nothing. Amen. Or gives nothing for something. Amen. That is kind of love. Are we still together here? That's agape love. This agape love does not keep a record of wrongs. This agape love is patient. You're late again. We're talking now. Now, but again, this agape love is considerate of others. If I have an appointment with you at 10:30, you ought to be considerate that I'm waiting for you. Amen. Is that right? Is that fair? Yeah. So Paul says, but it doesn't end there. Because this is a very difficult subject. It's interpreted in many ways. I've heard people say, oh, God is love, you know, we can do anything, it's okay, God is love, God, He's also a judge. We'll get to that. Peter, writing in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, 2 Peter 1:4, he says, We are God's children, that's true, but we are also partakers of the divine nature of God. We are partakers of the divine nature of God. And part of that divine nature of God is love. And Paul says we are a part of that nature. We have the nature, the capacity to love as God loves. But the devil wants to corrupt that. That's why it's easy to get angry than to be happy. But our nature from the time we were created to love. That is the nature of God. That's what we carry. We are partakers. That love is a divine nature. It's not from Hollywood. It's not from Hollywood. It's from heaven. That's why if you have put trust in the love that you see on the screens, you will be disappointed. Because it has no foundations. It's founded on a dollar sign. It won't last. So when the money runs out, she leaves you. Thank you for being quiet. This is a loveless church. So when Paul says walk in love, he's not asking us to do something foreign, because it's already in us to love. We have received a new nature from God. That's why when you're born again, you are regenerated from the inside. You become a new person. Paul says, you are now a new creation. The old is gone. And that new creation, that new nature you have received, is the divine nature of God that is able to help you to walk in love. So, question, are you born again? Are you saved? Because some issues we're struggling with, we need to go back to the original question. Was I born again at all from the beginning? Or I agreed with the teachings of Christ, but I never surrendered to Him. There's a difference. Some issues we're facing is because we are struggling with basic issues of salvation. We're not yet fully saved, so we're struggling. But we have this divine nature. The old nature, we know the old nature. The sins of the flesh are obvious. The old nature is selfish. The old nature thinks about itself. The old nature is thinking about, how can I make myself better? How can I pull some people down? How can I take advantage? How can I be number one? How can I be the boss? How can I be the best? That's the old nature. And Paul says, kill the flesh. Don't try and do you don't try and sanitize works of the flesh. Sanitizing means you are giving it a lovely name. That I helped myself. You stole, but I helped myself. The oldest, you're sanitizing something. Whoa. I gave a bit of a preparation statement, didn't I? About this part of where Paul now starts talking about how do we live life in practice. And this is how we live it. You got to know whether it's old nature in control, or is it the new nature in control? Jesus says, be imitators of God. Paul writes, says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imagine God speaks of us the same way He spoke of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3, verse 17, when God was announcing Jesus Christ, what did He say? In Matthew 3, 17, please. He says, this is my beloved Son. He was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, the word He used there, that this is my beloved Son, is the same one He says, be imitators of God as who? As my beloved children. Whoa. Imagine God speaks of us the same way. That's why He says, we are co-heirs with Christ, seated in the heavenly realms. Whoa. Now, that's powerful, because we have been upgraded, amen, because of the new nature, the divine nature. We therefore upgraded to be the beloved of God. So it's not only Jesus who's introduced as the beloved. We are now being told we are the beloved of God if we imitate, we mimic, we copy Him. We copy Him. It's a no-brainer, really, copying something. You know, when for those of us that were challenged in school, maths was the easiest subject to copy your neighbor. All you needed to do was to check the answer. If it's 12, just copy 12. It gets a little bit sticky when the teacher says, can you explain to me how you got 12? I just found it. That's that. So, but when it comes to the issues of faith, if it's 12, just copy 12 and put it and leave it like that. You are okay in the faith. If you see love, just copy love. You won't be asked to explain, because the nature of the love you copied will explain itself. Amen. I'm not giving a license for those of you in skin school. I'm not giving a license. Don't copy. Do your work. So, what more could the Father do to express his love to us? What more could he do? What more? Well, Paul takes us further. Verse 2. Paul goes further and says, okay, you want to know the practice of how did Christ actually show that he loves us? Well, he brings a very, very difficult concept for us to grasp as human beings, because it says he gave himself for us. I know we know John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? Help me. Yeah. Brilliant. Whoa, okay. It's a bit long, eh? Okay. Now, how many of you know 1 John 3, verse 16? Put it up. 1 John 3, put it up. You'll see, this is what Paul was talking about. 1 John 3:16. This is exactly what Paul said. So he says, you have seen what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now I want you to do this. Let's read it again together, as loud as we were reading the first one. Let's go for it. This we know, love. Mm-hmm. Who? For who? Wow. So, can we love like God? Yes, we can. Because this is now John, the apostle of love. He says, actually, you can love too. He says, actually, you can lay your life down in the same way that Christ did. Now, we're going to touch on that for husbands next week. We'll talk about marriage. Okay. But today, first for today, you need to understand that you are able to love others and sacrifice for them. Now, sacrifice is a very difficult word in the modern world we live in, because we can hardly capture the full meaning of sacrificing for somebody. Because sacrificing always costs you. Sacrificing hurts. There is pain involved in sacrificing something for somebody. But God says, that's the nature of children of God. Now, back to my example. So does the bring and share thing balance out there? Okay. I'm not introducing a new doctrine here. I'm just saying you need to understand. Let's go deep with this thing. Because if we don't, see, if we don't want to just live Christian life without an understanding of where it's coming from. That's why Jesus says, you really want to follow me? Think about it before you follow me. Think about it, because it will radically transform your life. How many of you, when you got saved, people said, she's changed now. She used to be an angry woman. But now the things that used to make her angry don't anymore. What has happened? A new nature has taken roots in that person's life. If you're still an angry person and you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, revisit the foundations. That's why you went to the cross. Anyway, Paul says, let me help us understand. He then says, in case you are getting mixed up about what sacrifice is, he then says, this sacrifice is like a fragrant offering to God. It's like a fragrant offering to God. He is reminded of the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 1 to chapter 3, where they used to give sacrifices. There was the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice, the sin offering, the peace sacrifice or the peace offering. There was the meal offering. But there are two that were not sweet. Okay? There are two that were not sweet in the book of Leviticus. I know most of us skip over Leviticus, but maybe I might encourage you to go to it. There are two, a sin offering and a trespass offering. These ones were bitter. These were not nice at all. They were bitter because Christ took our place on the cross. Whenever you talk about a sacrifice, it's painful. Jesus went through pain It's not just a movie. It was for real. He took the pain. He took the lashes. That's why I get angry when I see the devil messing around with people's health. Because when I remember what Christ went through on the cross for that sickness to be dealt with, and the devil tries to convince you that you deserve it. It's okay the way you are. You're not. You're not. He took the pain for that. Amen? So a sacrifice always comes with pain. So if we're going to put this love into action, we've got to mimic God in people and sacrificing for people. We got to. That's what a community of God's people does. This is our nature. This is what we do. And for nothing. We do it for nothing. So when we go feed the poor in the city, we're not doing it because we want acclamation. We don't even need the press to announce it. In case we do it, but we don't need to announce it. So why am I taking time on this? Because it's the foundation for a life that imitates God. It's a foundation. If you get this right, the other 2 points are easy. But this is the foundation. All other characteristics, they flow from the love we have for Him. Number two, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Okay. No, I'm not going to say more. Let's start with verse 7, Jaden. I'll read 7 and 8, and then the rest will pick it up later. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Who was them? For at one time, you were darkness. Paul is not saying you were in darkness. He says, you were darkness. I was darkness. You were darkness. But now you are light in the world. The equation has been changed. Something has intervened and changed us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of light. That is the kingdom of the Son of God. So then he says, therefore, now that has happened, now that translation has happened, I want you to learn to walk in the light. You can't continue heading that way because something has happened here to point you the right way. And the right way is walking in the light and not in the dark. After all, who's the prince of darkness? He reigns in darkness. He rules in darkness. So Paul touches a few things. He says, the unfruitful works of darkness are there. He says, expose them. He then touches on a few there. So if we are in the light, it means we are set apart. We are the called out ones. We've been called out from darkness into light. We no longer belong to the dark world. We now are children of God. Paul writing, he says, the things that are done in the darkness, we can't even speak of them. He says they are done in secret, but we can't even speak of them, but we expose them because light exposes. See, have you ever seen light argue with darkness? A little candle lights up a whole room. Just a little candle. Darkness has to move when light shows up. So when you are light, it means just by being there, you provoke darkness to manifest or disappear, whichever, depending on how strong is the light you carry. You irritate people by living right. Because everyone wants us to be like them, but we're not like them. So Paul makes that distinction. Says, there is a life of light, of living in the light, but there's also a light of living in the dark. The problem comes when a Christian wants to have at the same time. It's possible to be in both camps at the same time. Genesis, what does God do? First thing, he separates light from darkness. We are meant to be separated from darkness. That doesn't mean that we hate people. No, we don't hate people. We're simply saying our nature is such that we cannot be identified with darkness. We can't. We're God's people. We're God's children. And then he picks a few things. For example, he says greed. Greed is the nature of the other world. But he also mentions with greed, he mentions fornication. Fornication is sex outside marriage. Or sleeping with anybody who's not your wife or your husband. That's fornication. Another word for it is adultery. Okay, we can't go deep into that. But here's the point. Fornication and greed are put on the same in the same sentence because they are both motivated by appetite. It's an appetite of the old nature that cannot be negotiated away. You need a new nature to get rid of that. So whenever it tries to rise, you kill it. Uncontrolled appetite. John says it's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Where's the keyboard player? I think we need to. Let there not be even a hint of these sins. He's talking about the body of Christ. He says there must be no hint of greed. There must be no hint of covetousness. There must be no hint of fornication. And the foolish talk. The Bible actually says coarse and foolish talk. Crude joking. You know, where you are making a joke at the expense of somebody else. Or some jokes that are dirty. As a child of God, that's no longer your group. That's what scripture is saying. There's nothing cool about making coarse jokes. Nothing cool at all in heaven. Among your mates, maybe. In heaven, no. We don't swear as believers. I know you see it in Hollywood. As believers, no, they're acting. So we can't mimic that. We're children of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 4, he talks about the tongue. Paul talks about, hey, this guy knows everything about our lives, doesn't he? He talks about the tongue. Says, let there be no what? A strong word, filthiness, no foolish talk. Whoa. You know, in Paul's day, there used to be believers that used to say, it doesn't matter what you do because once saved, always saved. You'll get away with it. The grace of God covers you. You'll be fine. So say whatever you like, live the way you like, sleep all over the place. It doesn't matter. The grace of God will cover you. Listen to me. But listen to his warning in verse 5. What does verse 5 say? I put it up, Jaden. Verse 5. For you may be sure of what? Of this issue here. You may be sure of this. When heaven says be sure, you may as well believe it. It says be sure of this, that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, because he worships that, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why? That nature cannot inherit divine things of God. Your life has to change. We're talking heaven here. We're not talking of a society or a club on earth that mimics a few things from scripture and says, yay, we're people of God. We're talking about a community where Christ is king. And when God gives us an encouragement, we take it to heart. So you can't go on sinning and think you'll get away with it. There is nothing like always saved. Once saved, always saved. It's not in the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. We imitate how Christ responded to immorality, for example. He was friends with sinners, but he didn't participate in that behavior. That is contrary to God's character. I'm not saying we should isolate ourselves from the world. Not at all, not at all. I'm simply saying that we don't get into partnership in works of darkness. We can't. It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature. After all, Paul says, what communion has light with darkness? So we walk as children of God. See, when you travel, when you go to the airport, I know some of us don't like it, but you go through screening protocols, don't you? They take off your watch, put it there. Then the thing goes beep, 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 beep. Oh, you got something. You search, you remove belts, you remove shoes, you put it in there. I can see people getting angry that they're being screened. Hey, that's the nature of the airport protocols. It's the nature. Everything has to be screened. It's their nature. They screen everything. So, in after all, if you have nothing to hide, why are you angry? Just like walking in the light. If you have nothing to hide, you walk in the light. There's a guy called Charles Spurgeon. A guy went up to him and said, "Can I write the story of your life, Mr. Preacher?" And Charles Spurgeon said, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide." Can your friends keep your phone for one day? Just one day. Like, do you faint when you forget your phone at home? Because you're afraid of someone who might. Is your pin code top secret? That is revealed only when you're dreaming. That's when you receive it. And then you pin it in. Just in case someone might spot you. My friends, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Amen. Let me just do the last one and then we'll pray. Is that okay? Number three, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Paul continues in verse 15 of chapter 5, says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the will of God, understand what the will of the Lord is." What is wisdom? Google defines wisdom as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. That's Google. But let's read it from the Bible. The Bible refers to wisdom as having insight and judgment to make good, godly decisions on a consistent basis. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. First, you've got to know God to be wise. When you know God, God then gives you access to how He thinks. It is how He thinks that we then call wisdom. As you become consistent in understanding God, you become a wise woman, a wise man. That's where divine wisdom comes from. It is this wisdom that we need. It is biblical terms. So Paul says, "See that you walk carefully with exactness." How do you walk with exactness without knowing God? You got to know God. God is one that gives you wisdom, tells you, "You know what? That is your job. Apply for it. I've given it to you." It's exactness. It is God who tells you, "You know what? I advise you to leave that group of friends alone. They are not with you." It's exactness, because the Spirit of God sees things that you can see. Now, why not take advantage of Him? I don't know that you understand that the Holy Spirit is there to give you advantage. You got to know things that you cannot know by learning. You can sit in Harvard University all you like and still not have access to revelation from God. And that's what you need to live this life. Amen. There will be times when the Spirit of God will tell you, "Don't go on that trip. Stay home." Now, it might be against the grain, but God, I've got to be in London. It's the capital. And the Holy Spirit says, "No, not this one." And maybe you realize that God has already seen something for you that He's trying to protect you from. So there's wisdom in knowing God. So Paul then says, I mean, verse 14, 15 is really a hard one to take, because it comes just before he talks about walking wisely. He says, wake up, O sleeper. Open your eyes, make the most of the day. So sometimes as Christians, we don't take advantage of most opportunities that come our way. But Paul says, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead. There is wisdom available. Is it James? Is it not James who says, does any of you lack wisdom? Ask from the Lord. Ask and he will give you abundant, as long as you're not double-minded. Double-minded means you are thinking about your human wisdom and thinking about wisdom, and you're trying to balance the two. It doesn't work that way. Our nature is such that divine nature cannot work with human wisdom. So Paul says, walk in wisdom. Why? Because life is short. Life is short. We're alive today, tomorrow we're gone. So he says, live with wisdom. Time is limited. Live with wisdom. He says also, the days are evil. The days we live in are evil. In those days, Paul was seeing a time when it would be difficult to preach the gospel. The Romans were clamping down on the freedom of Christians to preach. Sounds like today. We will come to a place where it would be a challenge to preach the gospel. So Paul says, be wise, because the days are evil. Verse 16. And God has given us a mind to think things through. You know that God has a plan for your life? You're not wasting your life here. God has a plan for your life, and you need that wisdom. You need to be able to discern the wisdom of God and live your life with purpose. It's not a checklist. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us be wise, like I say. So let me finish with this. Who are you following? Who are you imitating? Christ is our model. Christ is our standard. That's how we live. If you want to see a man who lived a life full of purpose and meaning, that man was called Jesus Christ. He lived a life of love. He walked in the light. He walked in wisdom. And so when we look at Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, we become like him. The standard, the objective is to be Christ-like. Because in Christ we find light. In Christ we find love. In Christ we find wisdom. When you find Christ, you have found the divine nature of God. You are not the same. You are a new creation. Some things will even surprise you. That I didn't know I could do this. Yes, you didn't. But you have strength in God. There is power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, who are you imitating? What are you illuminating to the world? Are you showing the glory of Christ? Are you illuminating the glory of God? Paul says, that's how you make relationships in the house of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for today. I pray that we may find strength in imitating you. We thank you for the permission you are granting us to imitate you in love, in living as children of the light, and in making wise decisions for our lives. Spirit of God, I ask you that you may guide us as individuals and as a church corporately. Spirit of God, may you fill us, saturate us, that the old nature will have no door in our lives. May we partake in the divine nature of God, that people will look at us and see Christ shining forth from our lives, whether we're in workplaces, whether we're in our homes, whether we are in a community, wherever we are, may the light of Christ shine forth from us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.